Grace and peace to you as we gather together today in the name of the living God. We come to worship God with one another. Surely God is with us in this virtual place and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Living God, as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we pray that we may be bound together in Christian love, and that our faith and fellowship may be a witness through which your Spirit will bring others into your church. We humbly thank you for your many blessings you have given us. We ask that we may learn how to truly be Easter people and always remember that we are celebrating Resurrection Day every day. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. Welcome again to Parma Christian Church. We are glad to have you worshiping with us this morning. You're welcome to join us here on Facebook Live each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. or in the sanctuary. We do ask that those who are worshiping with us in the sanctuary remember to follow all COVID protocols. For any visitors who are with us today, I am Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor at Parma Christian Church. Richard Woodward is our organist, and Darrow Cravanos is our IT technician and videographer. Our elder for the day is Marianne Woodward. A few items to remind you of for those worshiping at home, virtually with us and in person. We will celebrate Holy Communion with one another because we believe that communion is an important part of our weekly worship celebration. So we invite you to use whatever you may have at home. And if you're here with us, we remind you that there was a communion kit for you to pick up as you came in the sanctuary. We do remind you about offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, and you may use our online giving tool, or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Or for those worshiping with us in the sanctuary, you may put your offering in the tray at the back of the sanctuary. So to remind you of those COVID-19 safety protocols, we ask that you wear a mask at all times. You may lower your mask for Holy Communion. We remind you to stay at least 6 feet away from other worshipers who are not in your family unit. Share a friendly hello with a wave. Please do not shake hands at this time. Because we know COVID is spread through aerosols, we will not be singing while we worship together. And when we recite the Lord's Prayer with one another, please say it quietly into your mask. Whisper it to yourself. When the service is concluded, we ask that you do not remain in the sanctuary very long to visit. You may exit the sanctuary, and I will be in the parking lot to greet you. Being vaccinated is not a requirement to attend our worship services, but in order to ensure the health of everyone in attendance, whether vaccinated or not, we must follow these safety guidelines. And we do ask that during the week, if you think you may be coming to worship on Sunday, please call the church office and RSVP. We do have to keep a list of everyone who's worshiping with us. So in case we do have to do in case we're contacted by the health department and we have to let others know that someone might have been positive for COVID worshiping with us, we would have to know who to contact. And now, as we continue our worship together, we will enjoy some music. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the first letter that John wrote, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. One commentary says that 1 John is constructed like a piece of music. Its author states a few simple themes, light, truth, life, and love, and then builds variations on them. Today, the theme of our scripture is love and forgiveness. Hear now the scripture from God's holy word. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We remember Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa became well known around the world, caring for the sick, outcast, and poor in Calcutta. By the time of her death in 1997, her order, the Missionaries of Charity, were operating 610 missions in over 123 countries. These missions included hospices, homes for people with HIV/AIDS, schools and slums, homes for lepers, soup kitchens, and orphanages. Hundreds of mobile clinics provided medical care, and tens of thousands of meals were served daily. In 1995, Mother Teresa visited Charlotte, North Carolina. Methodist pastor James Howell took his 7-year-old daughter at the time to the Charlotte Coliseum to see her. When Mother Teresa walked out on stage, clothed in her white robe-like sari and long headscarf, Mother Teresa was greeted with thunderous applause, which extended for a long period of time. And when the noise finally subsided, Howell's young daughter looked up at her dad and said, "Daddy, she looks like someone in the Bible." "Indeed she did," remembers Howell, "for she was the 20th century, a sign from God, a beacon of hope, a person who positively and beautifully reminded us of what the presence of Christ looks like in the flesh." Mother Teresa's love for Christ was so great that in her compassion, her mercy, and her love, she became like Jesus. Now, in our reading from 1 John, the author marvels that God's love for us is so great that through Jesus Christ, we have become children of God. Basically speaking, a child is one who is like her parents. Thus, a child of God is one who is like God in some way. Children are also those who are on their way to becoming adults. They are growing, maturing, and changing. What they will become is not yet determined. They are works in progress. So it is with us. We are God's children, already like God in some ways, but also growing, maturing, and changing, becoming more and more like God as our faith grows and matures. What we will become is still not yet revealed. We are works in progress. We are becoming more and more like the God who is revealed in Christ. God's love is being poured out into our hearts so that we are transformed, so that as we grow and mature as Christians, we become more like Christ. But this love isn't something that we can keep. It's something that we give. Love isn't necessarily something that you feel so much as it is something that you do. Love, by definition, is active. Love is something we give and do in the name of Christ. Christ's love heals. Christ's love welcomes. Christ's love forgives. Christ's love listens and comforts and feeds and gives. Christ's love creates and builds new relationships. The forgiveness of sins he brings is not so much the canceling of a debt as it is the repairing of broken relationships. In Jesus, God's love seeks us out, finds us, and reconciles us. And Jesus sends us out to be his witnesses, to share that love which moves us from the inward focus of sin to the outward, generous life of love of God and neighbor. In other words, Jesus sends us out to be like him, to love as he loves. But we must remember that love is not usually heroic and awe-inspiring. Oh, sometimes it is, and we can think of people like that, like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr. There are others that we can name of people who rise to that awe-inspiring greatness. But more often than not, love is enacted in everyday, ordinary ways. Mother Teresa herself knew this. She once observed, "We can do no great things, only small things with great love." Her awe-inspiring, heroic life of love was just really the sum of many, many small, everyday, ordinary acts of love. Now, in my house, Chris and I love the band U2. We listen to a lot of U2. We've raised our girls on U2 music. It's great stuff. And U2 has a song called Ordinary Love. Now, it was used several, I hate to say how long ago it was because it still feels like yesterday to me, but it was used in the movie about Mandela and Mandela's life that came out in the early 2000s. And the chorus of the song, Ordinary Love, says, "We can't fall any further if we can't feel ordinary love. And we cannot reach any higher if we can't deal with ordinary love. We can't fall any further because it is the lack of ordinary everyday love for our fellow human beings that is the source of great evils in this world. It is the lack of ordinary love that builds and perpetuates unjust systems like apartheid and racism and segregation. They start with simple fear or dislike of those who are different. So too, it is the lack of ordinary love that keeps folks trapped in poverty, that ignores violence against women and minorities and blames the victims, that views immigrants as dangerous and subhuman instead of people just like you and me. It is the lack of ordinary everyday love that divides families over differences of religion or politics, that divides friends over petty slights that makes us fear the new person who looks or sounds different from us. It is the lack of ordinary love that drives wedges between classmates and coworkers and that creates enmity between them, that turns molehill problems into mountains and elevates our own ambitions above concern for others, that declares my individual rights are more important than the greater good of the whole. If we cannot learn to deal with these ordinary relationships and learn to love in small, common, everyday ways and situations, then we can't reach higher for higher ways of loving and living. Unless we learn to love in small ways, to love those we encounter each and every day, we will make no progress toward being more like Jesus. Much less will we even be able to begin to approach the type of heroic love Christ showed on the cross. So what does this ordinary Christ-like love look like? Well, it looks like those who take time out of their weeks and days to pack our bags for the monthly food pantry distribution. It looks like our church secretary, Debbie, who takes care of the young missionary volunteers who help distribute that food. It looks like our elders who delivered worship bags to everyone so we could continue to feel connected during this pandemic. It looks like church members calling and texting prayer concerns that are about our church family to help us stay connected. Christ-like love also looks like two friends talking out their differences and both apologizing after a confrontation. Like a young couple moving their family into the home of an elderly relative so she can stay at home despite her illness, and eventually so that she might die surrounded by family. It looks like a young person inviting the kid everyone makes fun of at school to sit with her at lunch. It looks like a couple taking a meal to a sick neighbor. Being like Jesus looks like countless unique acts of ordinary, everyday love. There is no formula. What is appropriate in one situation may not be appropriate in another. There is no guidebook, but there is a guide. The Holy Spirit, who encourages us, pushes us, empowers us, and fills us with love until it overflows and runs out of our lives and becomes a blessing to others. This Easter season, may God resurrect in each and every one of us ordinary, everyday love so that we might become more like Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer today, I invite you who are watching at home to list the first name only of those you want to lift up in prayer this morning in the comments section on Facebook, and we will pray for them this week. Today we give prayers of thanks that Helene's grandson Logan is well, and we also give thanks for her family's safe travel last week. We also give prayers of thanks for Kara's birthday on Friday. And we lift up the following prayer concerns. We pray for Bob, Pam, Kathy and Tom, Carol, Ida, Julie's friend Audrey, Julie's granddaughter Ricky, Jackie and Nicole, Burday, Burday's brother Clyde, Rob's wife Cindy, Terry, and the Marchese family. We also lift up Alice's family in prayer. We remember that Alice's sister died last November. There will be a private memorial service here on Tuesday evening, and so we pray for her and her family. We pray for all who have been exposed to or diagnosed with COVID-19. We pray for all who are affected by the economic impact of the pandemic. And we also pray for our country, that we might see one another as valued children of God. Let us go to God together in prayer this morning. Holy God, we come before you in prayer, lifting to you the joys and concerns, the hopes and dreams of our lives. May we also be open to your voice in our lives, that we may see with new eyes and hear with new ears the direction you will have us to go. Bless, we pray, this gathering of your people near and far, that we might grow and flourish in your love and grace for the purpose to which you have called us. Hear our prayers for those whose lives have touched us, those who are in pain, those who are ill, those who grieve. May we touch their lives not only through our prayers, but through our lives and actions as well. Guide us, bless us, uplift us, and behold us. For we are your children, called to your purpose in your world. Lord, hear our prayers, those spoken and those hidden in our hearts, the ones that we pray to you in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.